I will say Seattle prices from LA to Seattle, they have been rising too.
Like, mm-hmm. Like what?
$199 one way. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go to Lima, Peru for $367.
I'm Trizzy.
And I'm Leah.
And this is Ticket to Anywhere podcast, bringing you the gear, tools, and tips to equip you for a travel-filled life.
No matter your travel experience or lack thereof, we aim to be your first stop when you're thinking of where to go, how to get there, what to bring, and what to do.
Catch the latest episode every other Wednesday on YouTube or your favorite listening app.
We'd love to connect with you. Find Ticket to Anywhere on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ticket to Anywhere podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Trizzy at Triz Inc.
And I'm Leah, LA in flight. And hoy hablamos sobre Latin America. Sidebar, I was at a Vallarta last night. Bro, I haven't spoken Spanish in so long. I don't know why, but I was just trying to ask the lady if we could buy the cake. And I literally like looked at her for 15 seconds like, how do I say this in Spanish? My brain was working hard to translate the English words to the Spanish words. And I was with my mom and sister who don't speak a lick of Spanish. So the second the lady started speaking Spanish, Vallarta also, if you're not familiar, it is a local.
It's like a bakery? Like,
yeah. No. It's a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
It's like a local Mexican grocery store. Gotcha. But it has like products from all over Latin America. So it was like appropriate, right? Okay. I was doing research for this episode. Mm-hmm. Dude, I could not think of how do I say, can I order this cake in advance in Spanish? Like when she started speaking to us in Spanish, both my mom and my sister turned to me and I was like, if you're listening to this episode and you're not seeing my face, I literally just looked like a deer in headlights. Like, how do I translate my English into Spanish right now? I was like translating word for word. So I was speaking really slowly. Ah. Podemos ordenar el pastel antes el día que necesitamos. I don't even think that's the right translation.
She appreciated a little.
I know, but then she kind of looked at me like, what is she trying to say? And then she did say, she was like, oh, dos días.
Okay.
So basically she was saying like, you need to order it 2 days in advance. Mm. Anyways, all that Vallarta story to say, this is an episode on spending your summer in Latin America. Actually, this is kind of a good transition.
It's a great transition. And you don't have to speak Spanish to
go there. You don't. However, I do find an... Maybe it's personal experience. I don't know if there's data on this. I wish I knew. But I do think there is less English spoken in certain parts of Latin America than there is in, like, say, Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Or Asia. So, I mean, we say this all the time, too. Try to learn a couple words.
Yeah.
Everyone, try to learn a couple sentences. I need to go back to Latin America this summer because my Spanish is rusty. I feel like with food, directions, anything related to, like, whatever's necessary to travel around Central and South America, I'm really good at that.
Okay.
But the fact that I couldn't think of how to ask if I could order a cake, I was like, dude, I need to go back. I need to reread this article and figure out how I can get to Latin America this summer. Like we're about to tell you in this in this episode. Yeah. But this episode is based off a Thrillist article that I read a few weeks ago. And I was like, Trizzy, let's do an episode on this because I have been all over South America. I've been to Central America several times. I'm a big proponent and advocate of get out there no matter what doubts you may have because I think it'll make you a better traveler, you know? So I understand people's hesitations. You know, Central and South America has a long history of what? Drug violence, cartels, anything. Like people... You know, some communities are up in arms over some soccer games and there's been violence over, football.
Yeah.
Football to the rest of the world, soccer to the US and Australia. But, you know, I just say keep smart. Be smart when you're there, right? Exactly. Exercise caution like you would. It's the biggest thing we can say. But yeah, Thrillist put this article out. I was like, wait, we have a lot to contribute on this. And I always advocate for people to travel to Central and South America, especially if you're maybe like working remotely with a time difference is not that bad. Flights can be nonstop. In this episode, we include price examples for some of the flights. So you can Google them yourself after you listen to it.
And yeah, I reference a lot of episode 3 of Ticket to Anywhere podcast called 1 Year Backpacking South America.
And this episode, you have so much. You could tell how much you love
South America,
Central America. So hopefully this just inspires everybody to go.
Yeah. If you're all going to go, take me with you. Let me know.
You need a Spanish speaker?
Yeah. Well, if you need a Spanish speaker, it's not going to be me.
Okay. How do you say, this is my coffee?
Eso es mi café? Something like that?
Yeah.
Girl, don't make me speak no more Spanish on this episode, please. I already embarrassed myself in the intro.
Well, you can say it in English. What coffee do you have for the episode today?
This is a very, very simple coffee. It's Cafe Bustelo, actually very on brand. Cafe Bustelo espresso with Chobani sweet cream almond creamer.
Wait, Chobani is a
creamer? It makes creamer.
Oh, I thought it was just a yogurt.
No, okay. I mean, Chobani, like, yeah, they're big now. They make the dairy products, gotcha. Dairy or non-dairy, you know, because it's like it's an alternative creamer.
Ah,
but yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. They get it. I buy Chobani creamer at like Sprouts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sweet. My tea for the episode is a mango tea that I got in Oahu. It was at the Dole Plantation. Ooh. It's mango tea in it. Taste and smells like mango.
Like mango?
Tea. Yeah. I just wanted something a little fruity today.
Yeah.
And then you will be booking your flights after you listen to this episode.
Wow. Qué bueno. Make sure to invite me out. Yo, man. Hey. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
This episode has an article that I'm basing it off of. Mm-hmm. And like we said in the intro, it's wondering if 2024 is the year of the Latin American summer.
Ooh.
And at this rate, I feel like I'm almost an expert. I'm definitely a professional.
You're definitely more knowledgeable than I am.
On Latin America, this includes Central and South America. There's 33 countries in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been following Ticket to Anywhere, you know that episode 3 was fully dedicated to 1 year traveling South America. We'll drop that link here. You definitely should go check it out. That details my experience there, my Leah, for those of you listening versus watching. And, you know, this popped up. I tagged a few friends in this. This was actually a Thrillist headline, like I said, mm-hmm. in the intro. And I told Trizzy, I was like, wait, I want to make an episode on this.
Hell yeah.
Because I am always down for Latin America any time of the year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's summer or not.
Yeah.
And it was born out of saying 2023, everyone had their European summer moment. But I'm like, European, I feel like that's just the thing for Americans is like mm-hmm. every summer is a European summer.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about having a Latin American summer is it's shoulder season for sure in Central America, at least.
Okay.
Shoulder season, aka some would consider it hurricane season or rainy season, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't know what shoulder season is, or you know, you're quite new to traveling, shoulder season means it's the beginning or the end of a high season, which is usually ideal weather, more crowds, higher prices.
Yeah.
Best, quote unquote, best time to go.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, anytime you can travel or get to an amazing destination and have a good time or relax, whatever you want to do, I think that's the best time to go.
I think so too.
That's anytime. Yeah. Anytime you get a holiday or vacation, that's the best time to go. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what time of the year.
Exactly. I feel like rain in Europe makes it Europe.
100%. Thank you.
In the winter. So,
and I talk about that, like I actually put that in my notes here. Like, what are the benefits of traveling during a shoulder season? You get less crowd. You get better pricing, and sometimes you get surprise weather, but that's the least of your worries. Yeah. Like, you can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Put a windbreaker on, bring an umbrella, something like that. And we all know tropical rain is tropical rain. It's not, you're not freezing. You're not going to be freezing in Central America.
It feels good. I love tropical rain.
And it usually comes in increments where it's like sprinkling on and off, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a cool article headline, so I went through, read it, and I wanted to add my anecdotes and stories to having a Latin American summer. because I'm gonna make Trizzy book a trip to
I know
Latin America after we turn the mics off here. But I have, you know, what are my credentials that we can be speaking on Latin American summer? Because I, you know, people are like, oh, maybe we shouldn't take travel influencers' advice. And I'm like, not to say that we're travel influencers or anything, but we've traveled a lot. We are experts. Yeah. We are pros at this rate. So not only did I have an entire year in South America, traveling South America, where I started from December to June, that was in Argentina. The weather was pretty good. It was summer, fall, going into winter because it's the opposite, southern hemisphere. In those 6 months in Argentina, I went to Uruguay, Chile, and Brazil in Feb, March, April. Perfect, perfect, perfect weather in all three of those places.
Nice.
Like maybe a light jacket at night, and that was about it. You could wear like your spring and summer clothes. It was, oh my gosh, it was fantastic.
That sounds great.
Yeah. It was beautiful. And so once it started getting cold in Argentina at the end of June, I moved to Colombia, which was way up north, the north of South America. And Colombia was there July, August, September. Okay. Now, because Colombia is bordering like, you know, closer to the equator and closer to the Caribbean and where like the rainy season is. Throughout July, August, September, there were like little pockets of rain.
Okay.
It wasn't bad at all. I don't even think I had like a rain jacket, to be honest.
Nothing to ruin plans or anything.
Nothing to ruin plans and nothing. I think I just hid for cover in a coffee shop or like stayed in for the hour that it was raining. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was my experience. 3 months in Colombia. And then after those 3 months in Colombia, because your tourist visa gets you 90 days in Colombia, FYI. I went to Peru. Now, Peru was like mid-September to December. Wow. And it was, Peru is more like southern hemisphere, like lower than Colombia. So it was getting pretty cold there.
Okay.
Or it was, yeah. It was quite chilly. I felt like I was unprepared at some time. So I did buy some like alpaca jackets while I was there. Or fake alpaca jackets.
Yeah.
In Peru. But it did rain when I was like ascending to Machu Picchu, which was, I remember it was December 2nd. So it was quite rainy, but it didn't deter or stop the trip. So you can still do it in the rain.
They don't close if it rains a lot. Oh, okay.
I mean, if things start sliding around, then they will. But
for sure.
But it was more like it was raining really heavy in the morning. You start at 3:30 a.m.
Nice,
because you want to be there for sunrise.
Definitely.
So it was pouring more rain, like when Kate and I started, from like basically 3:30 to 5. It was pouring rain, but it wasn't like slippery dangerous because it's all steps to the top.
Okay,
so you're not like sliding down a hill or. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it's all just steps. And then after that, still overcast and cloudy, but no more rain.
Okay.
Yeah. So it stopped raining when we were up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I spent a whole year in South America doing that, traveling around, kind of hitting good weather where I went. I've also been to Costa Rica in March. Absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. I've been to Nicaragua twice. I went during December and January for New Year's, and I've been in April. Weather was perfect both times.
Nice.
Dominican Republic in May. That's getting into the rainy season. Mm-hmm. So it was quite overcast and windy, but we didn't get any rain.
Okay.
Yep. Puerto Rico, I went in May. That was and this was recent too, last year.
Right.
On and off rain.
Okay.
Tropical rain, so didn't really need a jacket, and the hours that it was raining, I just stayed inside because I was there for a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yep, like I said, I had Argentina, Colombia, Peru, Uruguay, Chile, Brazil. But yeah, so those are my credentials if you're wondering, well, how would you know what the weather's like?
Did you complete all of South America?
No.
Oh, okay.
So in South America, I actually, and I detail this in episode 3, I didn't go to Bolivia. Okay. I didn't go to Ecuador. And I didn't go to Venezuela, but that's because we're not really supposed to go to Venezuela right now. So Hopefully, you know, things get better for them and they allow tourism, but I think might be a little ways away.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I didn't go to Bolivia or Ecuador when I was in South America.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And let's see. So I found some quotes on the Latin American summer, the Thrillist post saying, you know, people love that we want to promote Latin American summer versus going to Europe where everyone is mm-hmm. and everyone going there driving the prices up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a terrible time to visit. It's also not exactly the best time just because of the weather reasons we told you. So if you're looking for like those bright, bright, sunny, warm beach days, you might not get them every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. But there's right. so much to do that it's, you know, it doesn't have to be lounging on a beach every single day.
Yeah, for real. Go to a museum. Go learn about like the history.
The history, the architecture. Because the architecture is different there.
And the food.
Mm, yes. The food, right?
Yes.
So let's see some stats that the Thrillist article provided, which I thought was really interesting. In Argentina, the country saw a 48% increase in tourism in September 2023 compared to September 2022. Mm. Over 5.3 million visitors visited the country between January and September of 2023, about one-fourth of which were from the U.S. and Canada.
Damn.
So they said it's a trend that can be seen beyond customs data too. Yeah. But I think, and I want to know your opinion on this, but like I think it's because of people finding remote work and working remotely from all over the world and them, yeah. you know, heading down to Buenos Aires maybe as the starting point, visiting the entire country of Argentina. Also, Ushuaia in the deep south of Argentina is the jump-off point for Antarctica.
There you go.
Yep.
I've and been seeing a lot of Antarctica.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of Antarctica too. Yeah.
It's happening.
We digress. That is not South America. That's a whole different continent. But that is not Latin America. A whole different continent. Yeah. But Ushuaia, mm-hmm. like they call it the end of the world.
Yeah.
And that's where you can see the penguins also.
Cute.
But I thought that was interesting. 48% increase in tourism. That sounds massive.
Yeah. So like you said, because you're thinking of remote work. And in yep. previous episodes, you did mention the time difference isn't even that drastic.
No,
right?
I think Argentina's like 6 hours ahead.
Okay, so yeah. that's probably
exactly.
why too.
You know, I always advise friends when they're looking for somewhere to go, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, if you don't want a huge time difference, we all know how hard it is working from Asia.
Yes,
we've talked about it on the podcast many times. It is hard working from Asia, mm-hmm. and I'm about to do it again in a few weeks after this episode releases with a 16-hour time difference, and I'm not excited for that. But yeah, Argentina's only about 6 hours ahead. I always advise friends, dude, if you're looking for a place that has sun and sand and great food, great weather, go try out Central America. Mm-hmm. The time difference isn't bad at all. It's yeah. maybe like 3 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
So, and then you can get there with plenty of nonstop flights. You can get there in half the time it takes to get anywhere else around the world.
For real.
Because of our proximity, you know, there's a lot of benefits. And I understand people's hesitation. You know, there's yeah. a lot to be, people may think there's a lot to be like hesitant about, and we can yeah. get into that. But I thought that stat was interesting that the article provided. And I was like, huh, a fourth of which are from US yeah. and Canada. But yeah, I mean, we like to stick to the Americas if you don't want a huge time difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just mentioned, safety and precautions, right? So obviously places like, they include a little bit of the Caribbean in this article as well. Places like Haiti and Venezuela have level 4 warnings. Several countries have level 3 advisories. So if you're not American or living or from the U.S., then let me tell you about a little system we have called travel.state.gov. And it is just a government website that talks about the travel advisories for every region around the world, if they have one. Not everyone has a travel advisory, but you can go there, see what the latest updates are, and you can sort by the date the warning or the advisory was issued. Warning. I don't want to make it sound like
yeah.
warning, because of the 4 levels. There's 4 very different levels, mm-hmm. but you can sort by most recent and whatnot. And so, most of these level 3 advisories are for specific regions
of a given country. So a level 3 advisory is reconsider travel, and a level 4 advisory is do not travel. Mm-hmm. So currently Haiti and Venezuela have a do not travel tag on them. And then level 3, I feel like if they're going to give a warning, that's the most common warning that they will give.
Yeah.
And then level 1 is like exercise normal precautions. And I was telling Trizzy this, why is that even a warning? But you know, yeah. we're not here to judge. We're here to help educate. So mm-hmm. I wanted to give some street smart tips as well. Yeah.
Street smart. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and we talk about this. We have a couple safety episodes.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But any safety precautions you would take anywhere else, in certain places in Latin America, you may want to lay that on a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, we have to do that in downtown LA. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. We have to do that in our own city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't want to walk around alone at night, don't walk around alone at night. No mm-hmm. one's forcing you. If you feel more comfortable, you know, being inside or around people at night, if you're in Latin America, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Uber works in most places in Latin America, but if you take a taxi, always negotiate the price before you jump in.
Okay.
Right? This, I mean, I feel like this is the case in Southeast Asia too a lot. Yeah. So, right? Don't take all your cards and cash with you when going out. Spread all your money different places. Don't wear flashy jewelry, watches, or clothes, and hold your phone out in public too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these are all like the travel.state.gov that Americans or people living in the US or from here, residing here, use. These are the types of warnings that they'll give you on that site. So, and these are the types of things Trizzy and I repeat as well.
Yeah.
Some examples. So Latin American summer, you know, versus a European summer. All us Americans, we're trying to go to Europe. It's beautiful. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not an expert in Europe by any means. I still haven't been to like Italy. I've uh-huh. never been to France. I haven't been to a lot of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And like, not that I don't want to go. I'm just like, oh, it's been, you know, I don't know. Any. Just watch everyone else's Instagram posts and reels about it.
To be honest, I had a European summer once when I was 20 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And it was I didn't like the weather because it was humid.
Humid.
Hot and humid.
Yeah.
There. And on top of the crowds, it's just like the body heat just doubles.
Yeah, so, it was a lot.
I mean, Switzerland is probably amazing there, but mm-hmm. I would say like France and Germany, they were all right.
Like the cities and the heat rising mm-hmm. up from the ground and the sewers.
Yes. We talking about New York?
I know. Are we talking about New York or Paris? What are we talking about? I get it. So you can go to Latin America and have a little bit of rain sprinkled in there and way less crowds, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Oh, man. But I was looking up, before we turn the mics on, I was looking up some flight examples because I'm like, how inexpensive really is it to fly to Latin America? If we're going to pull a Latin America summer right now, mm-hmm. I looked these up literally just an hour ago. 10 days in July, Los Angeles to Medellin, Colombia for $500 round trip on Copa America, one stop. And the stop was like less than an hour.
Mm.
10 days in August from Washington, D.C. to Lima, Peru. Get on your Peruvian adventure. Yo, ceviche, Machu Picchu.
Mm-hmm.
That's $367 right now on Avianca. Round trip.
Wow.
I think it's one stop, not a nonstop.
Okay.
If y'all want nonstop, you might have to pay double these. But I don't mind one stop.
Yeah.
As long as it's not like 4 days layover.
Yeah. Wait, do you like one stop because of knee issues? Like so you could stretch
No,
and
because
walk
it's cheaper than nonstop. So there that's the thing. I think my preference is for mm-hmm. me, unless I'm on a really big time crunch,
okay,
I am okay with one stop because mm-hmm. it's always cheaper.
Yeah.
But what about you? You like the nonstop? You'll pay $200 more?
I do like the nonstop, but I have been not mad about one stops because realizing that I could stretch and get up.
Oh, okay.
And just walk around. I think
I'm surprised you're not doing your good morning stretches in the aisles.
I am. I definitely am, but I need movement, like more movement too. Yeah.
You're going to be, she just sent me a reel of a girl doing some marathon training in the airport the other day. I'm like, that is you.
That's me right here.
That is you. You're like, wait, I need a train. Can we stop the plane, please? I need a train for about 30 minutes.
They should have a track inside the plane.
Oh my gosh. People would be running on it for sure. Yeah,
there was a guy who was setting, you know, he did a mile
in the plane. He just walking?
Just walking.
Okay.
Yeah. I should send that to you.
But sometimes, dude, people's feet are in the way, their bags are in the way, their heads are in the way. Also, I'm one of those people that fall into the aisle when I sleep. We came across that. I fall into the aisle when I sleep. I do that on buses, too. It's so embarrassing.
You and I both, we partners for a reason.
Oh, yeah. But these prices, and I found, for the last one, I found 10 days in June, Denver to Guatemala City for $356, again on Copa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Copa seems like the common denominator.
Yeah. Copa is a big, I think, you know, not a budget airline necessarily, but affordable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So these are the prices you can find during summer to go get your Latin American summer. Dude, you can't even fly from LA to New York for less than $500 sometimes. Mm-hmm. So why not fly to Guatemala City instead?
I will say Seattle prices from LA to Seattle, they have been rising too.
Oh, like like what?
$199 one way. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go to Lima, Peru for $367.
There you go.
$199 one way.
I know.
Girl, just go to Panama City. Or go to some, you know.
I would love to check out Panama City.
La Paz, Bolivia. Yeah, yes, let's. Yes.
I'll go to Bolivia with you for sure.
But we've always been saying, like, it's cheaper to travel outside of the U.S. than it is the U.S.
Yep.
Like, I'd say 80% of the time it is.
Yeah.
I guess depending on what you do on your vacations as well.
Definitely.
But still. So we always make the case to leave the States.
For sure. Because once you get there, the hotels, I'm sure.
Yep. Hotels are much more affordable. Yeah. Bigger range, you know. It's just different. I mean, our dollar goes further.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps as well. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next point. I just had some like interesting, because of my background traveling, backpacking through South America and all the times I visited Central America, I had some like additional notes for if you out there would like to travel LATAM this summer, because I always recommend it. Any time of the year, like I said, not just the summer. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned, there's 33 countries there. Most of them speak Spanish, but with different accents. But of course, you have Brazil that speaks Portuguese, and then you have Belize, which speaks a bunch of different languages.
Love that.
Right? Uh-huh. I would say Belize and Costa Rica are two of the more, quote-unquote, expensive countries.
Okay.
In Central America, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes, not Costa Rica, but Belize, I think, takes U.S. dollars sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just the cost of goods and services and food is slightly higher than, say, if you were to spend time in Guatemala or Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Right. Which are a lot more affordable to to people who are making American dollars or Canadian dollars. Right. Yeah. In South America, I would say Uruguay is probably the most expensive country in South America. But that's because they have a very, very strong, solid economy.
Nice.
Yes. And I just remember having lunch it was quite a touristy spot in Montevideo in Uruguay, but I paid $27 for like just literally a platter and a cup of water and a tip. I was like, where am I right now? $27. Ooh. That was, and I mean, it was our fault for going to a touristy spot, but I was I was shocked. I was like, ooh, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
And that was early on in my America career. Yeah, if you will.
Yeah.
It was early on, so I didn't know any better, right? Because trust me, 9 months later, I wasn't paying anything like that. So, but Uruguay is amazing. Great for surfing. Weed is legal there. And I think they just have a lot of progressive laws and mindset for being a very small country.
Gotcha.
But yep. So Argentina, where I spent a lot of my time in South America, particularly Buenos Aires, has been, the economy has been rocked the past few years. And there's a lot of, not a lot of political unrest, but a lot of political changes, right? Okay. So when I was there, Argentina uses the peso, their own peso, Argentine pesos. It was 15 pesos per one US dollar
which when I got there, people said that was crazy because it used to be like 10 pesos a dollar.
Wow.
Right? And for example, so I would buy like a really decent bottle of wine in Argentina for like 45 pesos, which is $3 US. It's like the home, you know, wine country, right? So you're buying it from the source. And yeah. to me, that's a great price. I would buy like 5 bottles every time I went out to the store. You know, and meals range depending on what you buy. But these days, and I've heard these from a lot of different people, but the Argentine peso has risen to 836 pesos per $1 US, which is 55 times the amount it was when I traveled there in 2016. And granted, I know that was 9 years ago. Literally is a whole decade ago. But that inflation sounds out of control to me.
Because you start thinking about the locals. Like, what are they going through?
Right, exactly. And I mean, me and Trissy were talking, this could be a whole other episode, but, you know, when we travel there, work remote or stay for a long time, us being able to afford things or different pay different prices because we have American, we're bringing American dollars in, it makes things different and sometimes difficult for the locals. So we have a lot of thoughts and opinions on that, but that's a different episode. But I just think that 55 times, I just, that doesn't sit right with me, to be honest. Because I'm like, how can anyone afford anything?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pay 55 times the amount I was paying 9 years ago.
Yeah. I want your experience, which you had when I go.
Exactly. Well, and then that's the thing, like a good steak, you could buy like a really, you know, Argentina's known for their steak and their meat. But if you wanted a good steak, you could buy one for like $15 US there in a restaurant. Whereas how much is a prime steak in the U.S.? 80 bucks?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
80.
And it's like this size.
And in Argentina, I mean, at the time when I was there, you could get a really good one for like $15 US.
Wow.
So, and crazy because I didn't eat meat when I was down there. So I think I had like one bite of it and then I just went back to my vegetarian ways. And then one of the last notes I wanted to provide, if you're planning on having, well, I guess this doesn't really apply to summer, but good to note, the Inca Trail, which leads up to Machu Picchu, is usually closed for restoration during the month of February. Now, that's not our summer. That's not a North American summer.
Gotcha.
But it's good to know if you're making plans to hike the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu.
So that's an annual thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
but it's just the Inca Trail. It's not Machu Picchu itself.
Okay, okay.
So if you want to do like the two, three, four day treks doing the Inca Trail, but there is, I should do an episode just on Peru.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of, well, we have a section in episode 3 of Ticket to Anywhere. We have a little section on Peru, but there's dozens of ways to get to Machu Picchu.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Inca Trail, of course, it's historic, right? It's, you know, it's, this is a huge part of their history. This is what the Incas walked. I actually didn't take it. I did a very, very expedited trek to Machu Picchu. I did not do the Inca Trail, but, and most of the people I know actually did the jungle trek, which is the adventure one. You do zip lining and whitewater rafting and hiking through. Yeah, it's very like active.
Wow.
But you don't go on the, I think a little part of it is on the historic Inca Trail. Yeah. But it's not. Yeah, that's not it.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah. So I thought Thrillist was great for putting this article out. Mm-hmm. I had a flood of ideas. Because I agreed with the headline. I was like, yes. Yes, 2024 is the year of the Latin American summer. Yeah. And I will always be an advocate for spending, like I said, any time of the year in Latin America, Central and South America. Really, truly has a place in my heart. And I know that's a huge, huge region. Mm-hmm. It's literally sprawling like two different continents. But I just wanted to talk about it and encourage people to get out there because this episode is live mid-March and it's a perfect booking window, 3 months till summer.
Exactly.
Go get your Latin American summer, everyone.
Yeah. And you gave great flight examples.
Oh, thank
you.
And
the pricing too, from different areas of the U.S.
Yeah.
Going to different areas of South America. So
perfect.
Props to you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all your thoughts, your wisdom, your knowledge, your love, your passion for South America.
Trizzy's ready to go hike Machu Picchu
Leah, you got some conviction in your words, girl. But thanks everybody for listening in on the Ticket to Anywhere podcast. Until next episode, safe travels.
This is Trizzy at Triz Inc.
This is Leah at LA in Flight.
To find even more travel tips on budgeting, destinations, and our favorite items, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Check-In, linked in the show notes or description.
This is the Ticket to Anywhere podcast. Thanks for listening.